Okay, so that should be recording now. Thank you for the reminder. So for this meeting, I kind of wanted to just have a high level overview and strategy of how to move forward. You know, review the charge that we have gotten from management, and discuss how that applies to our specific group and the work we'll need to do. And then leave plenty of time for discussion to hear from you guys, you know, kind of what your expectations are, what you think about, you know, some of the ideas that we've laid out in the slides that we'll show, et cetera. So hopefully kind of a light meeting today. And then in subsequent meetings, we'll start to drill down into more detailed topics and, you know, have reviews of, you know, the work that's been done and really think about strategies for moving forward. So if there's no immediate questions, I'll start sharing my slides. Okay, and my PowerPoint isn't showing up. I don't know why. Okay, there it is. Sorry about that. Okay, can everyone see my screen?
We can.
Excellent, thank you. So the first, of course, bit of business is introductions and administrative details. So again, since you're here, you probably have seen these things and know them. But for anyone who doesn't, or just for reference, from going forward, we'll be using this mailing list, this EIC Projdet Jets Heavy Flavor. If you haven't yet, please subscribe. You can go to this link and there's a little form you can fill out and you'll be signed up. You know, I think all future communications will go through this email instead of trying to ping different lists from Athena and Etche or the EIC users group. So all future communications will come through here. So please sign up. The Indigo, there's been an Indigo page set up for our group. The category, the overall category is here. Of course, we will, you know, as meetings come in, they'll show up on this page. You can find, of course, since you're all here, you found the Zoom link. This is linked from the meeting page. This Zoom link may change in the future. There's been some talk, I know, of having consolidated Zoom meetings set up for each group. You know, if that happens or not, you know, I don't know. But again, we'll let you know what the Zoom link is. Just be aware that it may change in the future. Okay, the second bullet point here, I'll kind of leave to the end. That's the issue of different times and frequency of meetings. There's also a wiki page, which I link here as well. So we're recording this meeting. We'll try to put the recordings on this wiki page so that people that can't attend can go back and hear what was discussed. One One thing that, to my knowledge, hasn't been set up yet, and we should probably think about is some kind of chat service, Slack, Mattermost, whatever. This can be, of course, very useful for, quick announcements, quick questions to say the software group on some issue of code or what have you. So we should probably, as a whole group, whole collaboration, we should probably set something like this up. We can bring this up maybe in the meeting on Friday. And finally, the conveners, of course, there's me, I'm Brian, Miguel, Ping, and Wang Mei. So here you see our emails. I don't know if, Wang Mei couldn't make it today. It's very late in China right now. Ping, if you just want to, if you want to maybe introduce yourself real quick. And Miguel, I'm not sure if you're online, if you want to do the same.
Sure. I'm Ping from Los Alamos. I'm currently the postdoc here. I didn't involve in any HA analysis before, but I was the convener in the HA Heavy Flavor and Jet working group.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. This is Miguel.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. This is Miguel. And we did this with Brian. So I was one of the conveners of the JET group in Athena.
Okay. All right. So maybe the first item for kind of a larger discussion is the issue of meeting times. So we sent out a poll. Hopefully all of you saw it and filled it out. We tried to find a time that was pick a time that most people could attend. Of course, we have the standard East Coast, West Coast, China timing issues. It'd be much easier if the earth was actually flat, but it's not. So we should think of how to set up meetings so that our Asian colleagues can attend at a time that is convenient. I don't know if we want to do alternating times, alternating weeks. We pick times which are convenient for one, not so much for the other, and then switch back the next week. Abe, I see your hand.
Hi there. I look forward to working with this group, both on the JETs and as well as the Heavy Flavors. Regarding this meeting time, I must have missed your request to select the time, but one that worked for a long time was late evening here in the US and early morning in Asia. At least in the past, with Japanese involvement, that time used to work something like 8 to 10:30 in the evening, one of the weeks. And that would be something like 8 o'clock in the morning for them. Was that part of your selection option, or?
Yeah. So I mean, I believe the poll had the full 24-hour day as a choice. So certainly things like that can work. Those times, of course, are a little difficult for some of us with families, with little kids. But Yeah, I know for a while in Athena, we did, you know, a once monthly meeting, you know, at that kind of time, that kind of time frame to include our Asian colleagues. That's certainly something we can think about, maybe as a an alternating meeting structure. You know, of course, we don't have to decide this now. You know, we can send out another poll or an email, you know, to gather input, but that's certainly one option. And then, of course, the other issue is frequency. You know, if we want to meet weekly or biweekly, I think those are kind of the options that we have. My bias would be, as we're starting out, at least to have a weekly meeting, and then we can always skip if we have, you know, if we don't have a topic to discuss. But especially as we get going, it might be helpful to have a regular weekly meeting. If anyone has, you know, other opinions, please speak up.
I actually have a question. If you are going to do a weekly meeting, it might be useful to put together kind of a series of agendas for a couple weeks running so that you see whether you really need the weekly meeting, and it lets people prepare, because sometimes you probably find yourself going to meetings that you feel like, gee, that was a meeting just in order to have a meeting. And I don't think we want to fall into that hole.
This meeting could have been an email. Yeah. Yeah, so I think certainly kind of trying to look out a little bit further is useful. You know, I think we always kind of find ourselves in some way flying by the seat of our pants a little bit, but, you know, we can try to put together, you know, I think we have a couple ideas for agenda items moving forward. And so, yeah, we can try to put together maybe a 2-3 week outlook and kind of see how that falls.
I have another related question, if I may. When you guys met with management, did you sort of were you given a charge for these meetings? Because with the detectors, there's kind of an obvious charge, you know, for the detector technical working groups. It's like, okay, let's have a look at what both collaborations had and figure out how to take the best of both. Did you guys get a charge from management for the physics working groups?
So we didn't have a sit-down meeting with management, but we did get a charge, and that'll be discussed in the next few slides.
That may also inform meeting frequency.
Yeah. So, okay. I think, you know, I think we'll probably go ahead and we can discuss this a little bit more, you know, via email and stuff like this. We don't have to come to conclusions here right now. And they'll give people a little more chance to think about what they would like and such. So if there's no more questions on kind of administrative issues, I think we'll just start going through the slide deck. Why isn't my mouse working? There we go. All right. So there's too many people in the meeting right now to, I think, go around and and have introductions. But we think it would be useful to kind of compile a list or a document of the physics interests of each people and any detector subsystems that they're particularly interested in. So Ping put together a Google Doc, Google spreadsheet. You can find at this link, you know, you name, institution, topics that you're working on, specific detector components you're interested in. So I would encourage everyone to please go to this, to follow this link and fill out the spreadsheet. So we kind of know, the conveners kind of know where effort can be focused. And so of course you all can kind of get a sense of who else is working on what. You know, each of the camps are probably somewhat aware of what their colleagues were working on, but maybe not so much across proto collaborations. So hopefully this will kind of help facilitate, you know, you can see what everyone has been working on. So of course, I think, you know, I kind of teased it, an idea for a future meeting, maybe the next meeting. I didn't want to go through looking at all the previous work that has been done in this meeting, in this kind of kickoff meeting, but this should be reviewed and presented in a future meeting. So of course, we all of us have done you know, quite a bit of work as we generated our respective proposals. And we, of course, want to preserve that knowledge and experience and build off of it as much as possible. So I think having a future meeting dedicated to, you know, presentations on what has been done in the past is a good thing to do. And of course, you know, there may be areas where we see some tensions between the results that have come out from the previous groups. And we want to, of course, work to understand the causes and work through those. I'll just say quickly, this has begun in kind of a limited way, looking at jet energy resolutions in the negative ADA region. And yeah, so I think, you know, we'll detail this more in a future meeting, but just wanted to bring that up. So coming to kind of the meat of what we wanted to do in this meeting is looking at the charge. So as I mentioned to Barbara, we did get a charge from the management to the physics working groups. So like she said, the detector groups, you know, their mission is pretty clear. You know, they need to look at different detector technologies and kind of come to a decision on you know, what we're ultimately going to build. And I think to sum it up succinctly, our mission as physics working groups is to support them and inform their decisions from a physics standpoint. So I show here the global charge to all the physics working groups that we received. There's full four bullets here. The first is to work with the detector working groups to perform constant validation of the performance for physics observables, placing emphasis on studies of key physics processes in the various reports and white papers. Secondly, when alternative technology solutions are examined, we should work with the detector groups to provide quantitative information on the physics performance of the proposed solutions. Thirdly, in collaboration with the computing and the software and simulation working groups, further develop simulation and data analysis tools, and then organize workshops and tutorials as needed to train the users in these tools. And finally, on kind of a longer, you know, time scale, we want to extend the scope of the physics processes being studied. Of course, I'm sure we're all aware the the timeline of the proposals kind of meant that we didn't get to look at everything we wanted to. And so kind of expanding what was done and bringing in new processes, especially those that were called out by the DPAP committee as being significant for the science program, is something we should look at. So that was kind of the global charge that we got, that all the physics working groups got from management. So how does this apply to our group in particular? What are some things we should be looking out for and thinking about? So on the validation side, I think the two first bullet points are pretty closely related. We want to validate the performance of the detector for relevant observables, and we want to be able to make detailed performance comparisons between alternate technology choices. So the question here then, I think the natural first question is what do we validate against? So we need to come up with some modest set of benchmarks that we want to evaluate for any particular detector configuration. I think these kind of, for our group, break down into two categories. There's what I might call raw performance. And so that'd be, jet energy scale, jet energy resolution, heavy flavor tagging efficiency, quark jet tagging efficiency, things like this, where you just look at the raw performance of your detector for jets and heavy flavor. So of course, all things being equal, better resolution is better. So if you have two detector, if you have two technology choices and you say, okay, one has, choice A has better jet energy resolution than choice B, that'd be the choice. But of course, this is not the whole story. Because if they both perform well, or say one has one is more technically challenging or more costly, you want to be able to say, how does this affect the physics that we want to do? So that you can fold that into your decision-making process. So I think we'll also need some set of physics performance benchmarks. That should ideally, we probably can't do every possible analysis on every detector configuration, but we should think of some set of representative measurements that encompass, as much as possible the full physics program we want to run, as well as kind of touching all the relevant detector components. So maybe things like jet-based TMD studies, heavy flavor, REA measurements, jet substructure, others. So of course, this isn't a complete list, and we can discuss other measurements that people think are relevant. So the other half of this is, when we're thinking about what benchmarks to look at, we should also be thinking of what subsystems there are where there's likely to be, activity in optimizing and merging and looking at alternate technology proposals. So just looking at the two proposals, I think it's pretty obvious that, the barrel ECAL is going to be an area where, we should think of how we want to evaluate. There's two very different technology choices there. The issue of having a hadron calorimeter in the negative NCAP region. Athena proposed placing one there. Ecce did not. We will have to think about the pros and cons of this. You know, so we should be thinking about benchmarks and performance metrics that'll allow us to make an informed decision on that specific choice. I list maybe PID systems. Again, this probably isn't a complete list, but you know, again, we should be thinking of these issues to kind of get out ahead of, you know, we can use this to help inform what performance benchmarks we want to focus on. Maybe I pause here to see if there's any comments, any additions people want to make, questions people have. You know, again, everyone in this group will be, you know, be presumably doing the work. So please speak up if you have questions or points that you want to make. And I can't see hands, so.
Okay, Brian, yeah, I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So it's related to the third bullet, like, you know, like looking at the different options of like a detector technology. And then like to propagate that into the final observable, I guess like one would want to use a full simulation. So do we expect like there will be like, you know, like say, output like with the reconstructed PID, reconstructed like a secondary vertex or primary vertex, like one can work on?
Yeah, so this was gonna be kind of the topic of the next slide, but yeah, again, the last bullet here is exactly that. I mean, all of these, all of this work requires, you know, a software simulation framework that can provide the, you know, the objects that we need to do the analyses we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, so I think those exist. Maybe the more relevant question is, you know, which option we want to use. And yeah, so, you know, next slide, I think we'll talk about that a little bit.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And of course, as people fill out the survey that we had above, you know, there will probably be some natural physics benchmarks that kind of come out of people's interests. And so, you know, the conveners will take a look at that spreadsheet and kind of see where see where effort lies and look for maybe holes in capabilities that we want to highlight. So if no one else has questions on this topic, maybe we go ahead then and discuss the software and simulation frameworks a little bit. You know, so the third bullet in our charge, of course, was to coordinate with the software working group to further develop software and simulation tools and basically make sure we all know how to use them. So again, within this charge, you know, thinking about our group specifically, I think there's a couple aspects that we should think about. And one is exactly this question of frameworks. So this is kind of a decision for the entire collaboration, but as was just brought up, you know, we need some kind of full simulation with which we can Yeah, which we can run our simulated events through, and get out physics objects that we can then analyze. So I think they're Ece and Athena both had their solutions, and the question of what we use as our solution going forward, both in the near term and in the long term, is a somewhat delicate question that'll have to be worked out with the wider collaboration. But maybe drilling down a little bit within whatever framework we end up using, what quote unquote technology do we need, and how do we ensure that the tools that we need are implemented? So here I'm thinking of things like cluster finders for the calorimeters, vertex finding, things like track cluster matching, energy flow algorithms, et cetera. And of course, some of these are on different timescales than others. So finding some kind of cluster finder that works and gives reasonable results, is probably on a shorter time scale than something like a full-blown energy flow algorithm, which will which will likely be worked on up to and past the time that that data taking starts. But we need to have some strategy for combining things to form jets, for doing vertex finding, primary and secondary for heavy flavor measurements, et cetera. So we need to make it known that, what tools we need, make it known to the software group what tools we need, and then, depending on manpower issues, maybe be willing to kind of dig in and help out if need be. On the other side of the coin is, of course, the simulation samples themselves. We need to make sure that these samples contain do what we need them to do, that they have the processes that we're interested in. We should think about if we need special or dedicated simulation samples. For example, maybe photo production, charge current, heavy flavor enhanced samples, etc. So again, this all kind of then as well ties back into what benchmarks we want to pursue. So I have this last bullet. I don't know how much we want to get into this here, because it is kind of a collaboration wide issue. But I did want to at least bring it up to, to get an initial idea from you guys about software frameworks, and if this group has a preference we'd like to communicate to the wider collaboration. So again, there were different frameworks for Ece and Athena. So my bias is that at least within our group, we should probably focus on one. Of course, you can yell if you disagree with me, but I worry a little bit about if we're doing things in parallel, that we're actually making apples to apples comparisons. If we're looking at different technology choices, for example, or if we see discrepancies, if those are coming from actual performance differences of the detectors, or if we're looking at different if we're looking at artifacts that are coming from the implementation of the different frameworks. So issues to think about. If we do want to keep both options, do we have the person power to do two sets of the validations and address any of these discrepancies that I mentioned that may arise? If we have a preference for using one framework, is there a preference within the group? And it's perfectly okay at this point if there's not. So maybe I stop imposing my views and see if anyone has opinions or things they want to say on this point. John?
Yeah, Brian, let me just offer just a few comments. I mean, I think you covered the topic very well, but this is something that we have, and you'll probably hear a little bit more about this at the meeting tomorrow, but this is something where we have really asked the computing and software and simulations and QA group to really start pulling together the discussion on this. It's a complicated question, and there really are no good options. Right. My personal opinion is that for some period of time, we will have to carry forward both frameworks, especially when it comes to standalone detector simulations. But that means that, you can't do that and sort of not have a plan for how it's going to eventually converge. And that is really the most important thing to do at this point. So we kind of have to walk and chew gum at the same time. We need to use all the tools that we've got available to ourselves to make progress on the technical design towards CD2. That means we have to cross-check different tools that are getting the same answer, and that can only be a good thing. And it means that given that we have limited person power, we need to think about how we relatively rapidly transition to one concept, one framework, and a set of analysis tools that we can support given the workforce that we have.
Yeah, I think those are all good points, and I think so certainly even if the entire collaboration tomorrow decided we will go with one solution or the other, I think it's obvious that there will be some transitory period. How long that lasts and what's the strategy for getting out of that transitory period are, of course, questions that we have to look at. Again, this is a question that's going to impact the entire collaboration. From my point of view, whatever happens, there needs to be a very clear plan, and maybe even if you want to call them marching orders, because what I want to avoid is, what I really want to avoid is, so the JETS group does an analysis in one framework. The semi-inclusive group does an analysis in the other framework. The different detector working groups are doing different things. And then it rapidly becomes hard to do, actual apples to apples comparisons and make choices on what detectors to, what options to go forward with. And so whatever is done, there needs to be a clear plan for, how we kind of all talk to each other and agree on, agree on how to deal with any discrepancies that arise, how to actually come to a decision. That's my feeling. I think I saw Abe, was it? I just get little flashes on my screen, so.
I raised my hand. I think I agree with what John just said. I think we have to live with the two frameworks for a short foreseeable time and then have a clear plan to merge. But I was going to say one more thing. Maybe you alluded to it in your last sentence, Brian. And I think we could use this opportunity and turn that into a lemon from lemonade. The other way around. I think there might be critical things that, and this is more generally, not just the JETS, it's more generally. I think we can use this time to critically compare the simulations and make sure that we are going on the same path and inform the detector groups that way. So having two sort of established frameworks, which the two proto collaborations believed in, might not be a bad idea to use them to the advantage moving forward. So I think if we are going to have them for some time, just have some critical checks done and make sure that we are moving towards the right plus place. Maybe Brian, in your last sentence, you meant all this, but I thought I would emphasize.
Yeah, no, of course. Of course, having cross checks is always in principle a good idea. The kind of worry that I have, giving time scale and person power is, of course, once you start thinking about everything that goes into, what comes out of a full simulation, it's not just geometry, but, then it's questions of, how you do your calibrations and digitizations and, the details of the clustering algorithms and track matching algorithms you use. The list of things to cross-check quickly becomes large. I think there will likely be, a strategy that comes out from the software working group. We'll just have to go with that. But I just wanted to poll people in this group to see if there were strong opinions on this topic, so that we can, as much as possible, provide input as these decisions are being made. Barbara, you have your hand up?
Yeah, I actually have a practical question. Proceeding with DD for HEP would imply that the work has to be put in to put in the Babar magnet and all the subsystem designs that fit into the Babar magnet into DD for HEP. So there's a bunch of work required to get started until a going forward decision is made by the collaboration. There is a danger that work is of only short-lived utility. So I guess my question is, and it's probably more a question to management and the software simulation group, are people willing to invest that work in order to, knowing that it might be all thrown out if the decision is made to continue with Fun for All? I mean, how does that work, I guess, sociologically?
So I see John raised his hand. I also see Sylvester's online. If I can put him on the spot, maybe.
Good.
Sylvester, why don't you go ahead? Yeah, maybe I'll let Sylvester respond and then John, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so, I mean, superficially, the amount of work to do this sounds like a lot, but really there is a lot of similarities in the Athena design and the Ecce design. The work is already ongoing to implement the Ecce geometry, as well as to rescale some of the Athena detector systems that need comparing into the Ecce geometry. So I know sociologically it's a little tricky, but the work is ongoing. It's, the work one way or another has to happen because it's the only way to compare apples to apples, the same detectors or competing detector technologies in the same way.
That, fair enough. Thank you. That was the concern I had and you addressed it.
Okay, John?
Yeah, just to throw my two cents in. I mean, I think that's exactly the issue, right? I could tell you my personal opinion. You could get the personal opinion of the combined Ecce and Athena leadership. And we've been asked, why don't you guys just enforce this from above? And the answer is simple, because you guys have to do the work, right? And you know, past experience, whenever it's come down to these, you know, combination of technological plus philosophical decisions, it ultimately comes down to where the people who actually deal with it want to put their time and effort, and how much time and effort they're willing to put into it. So that's why, you know, we want the computing and software group to lead the discussion along with the simulations group. We want you and the other physics working groups and detector working groups to provide input to that discussion. And so that ultimately what comes out is what the community, what the groups are willing to support, right? The groups could very well take a, you know, a path which requires a very high initial investment, but if it's clear that they're willing to put forth that initial investment to move forward in that manner, that's, you know, that's not necessarily my opinion. That's not something leadership should dictate. So I think you've got exactly the right concept. I think this is going in exactly the right direction.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely true that buy-in is essential. I don't think anyone will argue against that. Yulia?
I just wanted to comment that I really would like to advise to keep one software framework as we go forward, because we are planning to have some modifications for the different sub-detectors, and it will be a nightmare to keep the track of the changes in the two software frameworks. And there will be inconsistency, and we will have, you know, really trouble at the end. So I think it would be best to spend a little bit more time and think about it and discuss and pick up one framework and go full power for this framework. It will be also good for that all working groups have the same, you know, sort of ground, the same framework, and they all, you know, contribute to the development of this framework. Whatever it is, but, you know, we will let software, you know, people to discuss this.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, certainly the software group is the main stakeholder here. But yeah, I mean, if we do have preferences in this group, I mean, I think, you know, part of buy-in is being... is having input to the process. So if there are, I imagine, you know, all the groups are probably, you know, have a myriad of opinions, but yeah, if there are some clear, you know, some clear preferences, being able to communicate that is important as well. Sylvester, you had a response?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to say that, you know, in the long run, there is, you know, no question that this will happen, and we as a collaboration will, you know, continue to develop a modern single software stack. Exactly what that will look like in the long run, you know, that's is something we can't even predict right now, because things will keep evolving. But I feel that the question, you know, that we're addressing right now is really about the short to medium term, you know, and knowing that everything for EIC always is due yesterday, timeline is very compressed, and we'll have to move really quickly. So I can say, you know, from the software working group end, you know, we're actively working on a short-term work plan, also communicating with the simulation working group. You know, we need a bit more time to come up with something really concrete and get that then endorsed by the management. But it is incredibly important, and we are putting in a lot of work to try to get this clarified as soon as possible, and hopefully supported by the collaboration.
Yeah, I think there's you know, there's never not a deadline. there's always something on the horizon, and yeah, you know, being able to take a beat and yeah, think about that is a good thing. You know, so yeah, okay. I think we have one more hand. And then I think, again, as this isn't a decision that this group needs to take, then we'll move on from this point. But it's good to hear, you know, kind of the breadth of opinions on this topic. And yeah, they're all valid points. It's you know, it's never not going to be a tricky issue. Alex, I think.
No, I think maybe this is my comments are better suited for the Friday meeting, since we probably need to move on in this session.
Okay. Well, I think that was helpful to at least bring this topic up and make people aware of some of the issues surrounding it, or at least I hope it was. So a couple more points. Okay. The last bullet point, of course, was again expanding the physics scope. I think this is probably something we work on a somewhat longer times frame. You know, with the caveat that there may be some topics that hadn't been pursued in the proposal process, which could directly inform certain detector choices. Thinking maybe specifically of say photo production physics and the question of a negative HCAL, NCAP HCAL. But yeah, just throwing out some, you know, potential topics to think about or keep in mind. Diffractive jet and dye jet production, again, photo production physics, getting a little farther into to charge current. I know some work was done on this, but if we want to flesh that out more, I'm sure there are many others that, you know, either I couldn't think of or didn't have space to put down. You know, so this is something also that maybe keep in mind when you're filling out the physics and detector interest survey. You know, if you have topics that you haven't had a chance to work on yet, which you think might be relevant, you can add those as well. Again, I already said some of these might have implications for different systems. So, you know, maybe we think about them on a shorter time scale as need be. Another point may also be that may be worth exploring is thinking about the impact of various backgrounds. I know there was some work in this direction. I know in Athena, I'm not as familiar with what was done in Ecce, but you know, looking at the effects of beam gas and synchrotron radiation on our measurements. You know, again, so I know at least on the Athena side, there was some work in this direction, some procedure for simulating these kinds of backgrounds and then propagating them through. So I don't think this is, you know, from a technical standpoint, I think this is something that, you know, can be done. And so maybe it's worth thinking about some of these issues on our observables. The last slide that I had was how we want to interface with other groups. You know, so of course, nothing that we do is done in isolation. You know, our charge is, you know, in some ways, very much to support the detector working groups as they try to consolidate on technology choices. You know, so obviously we want to be in strong communication with the detector groups. And of course, you know, a lot of what we do will also have similarities in the, you know, for example, semi-inclusive or inclusive groups, maybe even exclusive and tagging if we're talking about diffractive jets, for example. So yeah, basically how we want to interface with these various groups. You know, so one proposal, one idea could be to have members of this group kind of quote unquote embed themselves in other groups, you know, maybe based on detector or physics interest, you know, someone who's working on calorimeters can agree to say go to the calorimeter meetings and kind of keep abreast of what's going on there. You know, we can do similar things for the physics groups, also for the software and simulation groups. And then kind of thinking from the other end. So one thing that we had in Athena that was very useful was having a dedicated liaison from the software group, kind of one person from the software group, you know, kind of embedded themselves in each of the physics and detector working groups, and, you know, could then speak to, you know, issues that are relevant from the software side. So if we want to request something like that from the software group, I think the other positions are a bit more informal. You know, you just show up to another meeting and, you know, we can then in our meetings discuss relevant things that are going on. And of course, you know, the conveners will of course be in contact with each other as needed. One other thing that I recently thought of that didn't make it onto the slide too was, and again, this is kind of a collaboration wide thing, but if we want some kind of global analysis coordinator and detector coordinator, so maybe two people that are, you know, say on the physics side who are, you know, kind of cognizant of all the working groups, you know, kind of touching base with all the working groups, keeping track of what they're doing, making sure there's no duplication of effort, making sure nothing is falling through the cracks. And then, you know, kind of ditto on the detector side. I think something like this could be quite useful. Maybe an issue to bring up at the Friday meeting. So I don't know if anyone had opinions on how they want to communicate with other groups. But those are some of the issues that I thought of. And this is my last slide. So you know, we can discuss this last point, and we can, of course, open things up to further just general discussion if people have other issues they want to raise. And yeah, I imagine people are going to have to start going to other meetings, and I'll have to sign off in, you know, maybe 8 to 10 minutes to go do childcare duties. But are there any other points people want to bring up, issues for discussion, things I forgot that are relevant?
I have a suggestion. So during the convener meeting, we were talking about maybe give some homework to everyone just to understand what study we are doing. Maybe we can also ask about the simulation experience, which software they're using, and do they have any pros and cons? We can gather some ideas on the simulation question.
No, that's an excellent point. Maybe we can, I don't know if you want to add a separate field to that spreadsheet, or if we want to put around a separate poll or something. Probably add something to the spreadsheet so we don't have asking
people to that.
Do a bunch of different follow a bunch of different links.
Sounds good.
But yeah, I think that's an excellent point. And I'd be a bit surprised if there wasn't a software survey that went around to the larger collaboration kind of touching on these points. Sylvester?
In principle, we send out a community-wide survey through the EIC Users Group Software Working Group that probably has this information in it. And I don't remember if it reported on the results, but that information was definitely asked about. And it was specifically aimed at, if you remember, at people that were involved in the detector proposal efforts.
Okay. Yeah, I do remember those surveys. I honestly never remember their scope, but yeah, that kind of information probably does exist. But yeah, I think at least for this group, just to we can look within our group on kind of a granular level. So yeah, if you have that that kind of information, that'd probably be something useful to put into the survey. Any other questions, comments? All right. So maybe going forward, the homework for you guys will be to fill out that survey. The homework for us as conveners, I think, is to kind of think about some agendas for the next few meetings, and then really think about meeting frequency and time. And of course, we will we'll probably put these to email so that you guys can comment. But we will discuss when the next meeting will be, what the topic will be, and we'll certainly communicate with that with you guys. All right, if there's nothing else, I think we can probably close out for today. And we will talk to everyone, I guess the next time we talk.
Thanks.
Thanks everyone for coming and participating. And I look forward to working with you all over the next years. Okay, bye-bye.